Tensions inside and outside of a Florida courtroom as former President Trump pleads not guilty to 37 federal charges. From the court appearance to campaign pit stops afterward, WRAL has complete coverage of his arraignment. Then, Wake County schools are preparing for new leadership.
What advice would you leave for the next person that takes your position?
What the current superintendent had to say about the district's future in our one-on-one interview.
Our comfy, dry conditions have an expiration date. I'm tracking when the heat makes a comeback and our next shot at evening showers.
We begin with the biggest story of the day. Former President Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty to a 37-count criminal indictment connected to classified documents. Any moment he will land in New Jersey for a campaign fundraiser. You're looking at live images here. He's expected to address the crowd. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. As Trump left the federal courthouse in Miami, he was booked, he was fingerprinted there and arraigned. Supporters and protesters lining the streets outside. The moment you'll see here as a person runs in front of the motorcade there, that person was arrested.
Take a look at the sketches from inside the courtroom where the judge barred Trump from discussing the case with any witnesses.
Mark Boyle tracking all of these developments for us in the WRAL Live Center. Mark.
Dan, good evening. Right now, these are live images from Bedminster, New Jersey. This is where former President Trump is expected to speak with supporters in about an hour and 15 minutes from now. And right now, I want to show you a couple of videos. This is one inside of a local bakery where he did make a pit stop this afternoon. This is about 4 miles away from the federal courthouse in downtown Miami here. I'm going to switch over to a different browser. So this red icon, so right now, just south of New Jersey, north of Washington. That's where the former president is. This purple line indicates the track. So he left South Florida right around 5 o'clock this afternoon, and now he is landing in just a few minutes from now. So everything's going to come together. We're going to hear from him later tonight talking about that arraignment, that 45-minute hearing this afternoon inside where they took fingerprints. They did not take a mugshot. It was a historic day there, and a lot of people saw it unfold as that motorcade left just before our 4 o'clock news here this afternoon. Dan,
all right.
Back to you.
Mark, thanks, sir.
A familiar face in the state's largest school district preparing to step down as superintendent. At the end of this month, Wake County School Superintendent Kati Moore will wrap up her career spanning 37 years in the district. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is live in downtown Raleigh, where high school graduation ceremonies are underway, Aaron.
Yeah, Ashley, in fact, the superintendent, she has a busy few days ahead of her before she fully retires. That includes attending a lot of these graduation ceremonies here at the Raleigh Convention Center. Behind me, you actually see students affiliated with Enloe High School getting ready for their ceremonies. Take a look at your screen. We actually caught the moment that Superintendent Kati Moore was getting ready for ceremonies for Leesville Road High School earlier today. I spoke with her one-on-one, and listen, we talked about a number of things. This includes the growth that she's witnessed here in the state's largest school district since she joined as a public educator back in the 1980s. She also talked about the difficulties of filling the educator pipeline with excellent teachers at a time when many school districts are having a hard time filling these positions. And she also talked about the challenge of working with 160,000 students and their families. She tells me that equity and excellence for all students matters to her, and she really looks forward to the legacy that will carry on after she leaves Wake County Schools June 30th.
What advice would you leave for the next person that takes your position?
We need to trust our teachers and our principals, continue to build their capacity, and we want to listen to our community. I think both of those are incredibly important, and maybe even more so as we move forward in the environment that we're in now.
Yeah, Ashley, we certainly had a lengthy conversation on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50. We're actually going to hear more from Superintendent Moore, her thoughts about private school vouchers, school choice, and find out what's next for her after she retires from the school district.
Oh, Ashley. So looking forward to that interview. Thanks, Aaron.
Tonight we are hearing from the mother of a five-year-old who was shot in Halifax County. Mylon Davis was shot in the leg while sitting in his father's car in Enfield around 1 a.m. Sunday. Deputies say the boy was hospitalized and later released. His father, Jacknazi Davis, declined to tell investigators what led up to that shooting. Deputies later found 25 shell casings nearby. The family of Davis's father says they believe the car was targeted by gang members who had a prior dispute with him. The little boy's mother says she doesn't understand why he was out so late at night.
It just made me feel relieved to see that he was actually okay. honestly, because it could have been worse.
The Halifax County Sheriff's Office is asking anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers.
This drive along Capitol Boulevard between North Raleigh and Wake Forest can be a traffic nightmare during the morning and evening commute. I mean, take a look at this. As many as 65,000 vehicles drive it every day. That's expected to increase to 75,000 by 2040. But now a plan to turn a stretch of Capitol into a freeway without stoplights is delayed. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm tells us how leaders in Wake Forest are fighting for funding.
At the busy times, it's insane.
Adam Wright makes the commute to work along Capitol Boulevard in Wake Forest, where he's also a commissioner in the growing town.
We have approximately about six people moving here a day, so it's not getting any better on a daily basis.
While that growth isn't slowing down, the progress on a project to turn the highway into a freeway is.
What does that mean for Wake Forest?
It's not good. Essentially, that means that our traffic situation is not getting any better.
The state's new 10-year plan for transportation projects approves funding to build a stretch of the freeway just above I-540 in North Raleigh, but it removes committed funding for two sections, from Durant Road to Burlington Mills Road, and from there to NC-98 Business. NCDOT says the cost to build those three sections of freeway have soared from $205.5 million in 2016 to nearly $613 million today.
It's just like when you're balancing a budget at home. If the expenses go up in one area, you have to make room for it somewhere else.
Now those sections of Capitol Boulevard will have to go back through the state's process to prioritize transportation projects, competing against others from across the state for future funding. Wake Forest town leaders voiced their frustrations about that to NCDOT during their latest work session.
I can't tell you, how disappointing it is to hear that this has been pushed back.
We can't handcuff ourselves waiting on a long-term solution that we've been waiting on for 8 years now.
Wright says the town is looking for different ways to speed up the highway expansion.
We need federal funding for these projects because that's the only way I see our way out of this.
NCDOT tells Wake Forest commissioners construction on a freeway through the town could finish here by 2035, best case scenario at this point. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Wake Forest.
And Wright tells WRAL he has reached out to state and federal lawmakers who represent Wake Forest to discuss funding for the freeway expansion through town.
We now know the name of the driver killed in this crash involving two tractor trailers. I-40 in Benson earlier. Roy Ward is his name. He was checking on one of the trailers when he was hit on the side of the road this morning. A tractor trailer jackknifed on the westbound lanes before hitting the other, killing Ward. Traffic on I-40 West was detoured for hours. A witness described the scene.
I saw a man lying motionless on the side of the interstate. There were two gentlemen performing CPR on him. At one point, I heard one of them yell, "We've got a heartbeat, we've got a heartbeat." But then maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, I heard them yell, "He's gone."
Terribly sad. I-40 reopened at about 3:15 this afternoon.
We are getting new details about a plan to lower the number of suicides in North Carolina. The statewide effort is designed to tackle an urgent problem. The latest data shows youth suicide rates across North Carolina have reached a 20-year high. Over the next year, the UNC Suicide Prevention Institute and the Carolina Across 100 program will work with communities to develop local solutions to address suicide. It's designed to tailor strategies for different people. Local communities can apply to participate in this new effort. We have a link for that in our story on WRAL.com. And if you or anyone you know is struggling with the thoughts of suicide, there is help. Call the National Suicide Hotline number at 988. Help is available 24 hours a day.
A Raleigh-based software company announces another round of layoffs. Pendo will cut 12% of its global workforce. 42 people working at their Raleigh offices will lose their jobs. The company says they had to do this to take steps forward toward turning a profit. Pendo also cut staff back in September when 45 people lost their jobs. Still ahead, it's official. Governor Roy Cooper will sign a bill making sports betting legal in our state. Ahead of that happening tomorrow, we're going to take a closer look at what that means here in Raleigh, specifically at PNC, one of the locations hosting an in-person sports book. Also, we're waiting for former President Trump to land at a campaign event in New Jersey, where you're looking live. This comes hours after pleading not guilty to a 37-count federal indictment. Kat?
And it's a beautiful evening outside. Tomorrow evening, there could be a few thunderstorms. So I'll show you which cities have the best chances coming up.
Pretty soon, it's been a long journey, but sports betting will be legal in North Carolina. The bill is sitting on Governor Cooper's desk as we speak, and he is expected to sign it. When he does, betting will start as soon as January, which, if you can believe it, is less than 6 months away. Joining us now to talk us through what this ultimately means for our area and for PNC Arena is Philip Isley. He's the executive director of Centennial Authority, which owns PNC Arena. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So PNC Arena is one of the eight locations listed in this bill in the entire state that can host in-person sports betting. But I get a little confused exactly how things work over there at the arena. Who makes the decisions exactly on something like the sports book? Is it the Centennial Authority board, or is it the Hurricanes?
We believe that the license will be tethered to the actual building itself, which we have contracted with Gale Force Holdings to manage the building, and I believe they are actually having conversations right now with potential operators. We're not really privy to that at the moment. We may end up having some say in this if they need our permission, but based on what the state legislation purports to say, we believe that they're the ones that will be making the choice and then moving on from there.
You know, I bring that up because there are all these massive renovation plans at PNC Arena. A lot of that would go into improving the fan experience. So all the things that someone like me going to a hockey game or anything at that venue, what we would kind of see before us, all the exciting new things. And now a sports book could be part of that. What could it look like if the full investment is made in those renovations?
Well, we're still trying to work through what that's going to look like and how we phase that in, how many years it ends up taking to get that done, who our funding partners or what amount of money our funding partners will provide to us. But if we are able to accomplish the things that we're trying to accomplish, we should begin to see some new renovations occurring beginning next year. And they're maybe starting out with things that are not all that attractive, like loading docks and other sort of operational measures that make the building more efficient. But certainly a sports book is a part of this. And the legislation provides for actually a sports book inside the building or attached to the building, as well as within a half mile radius of the PNC Arena site. So that's an exciting aspect from the standpoint of 24/7 activation on the site, which we really have never had. So this may be the original sort of way to kick things off as to what we're trying to accomplish out there. But certainly I have every intention and every belief that this will enhance the fan experience.
I'm wondering your impression of this. You know, I was looking at the law, and it allows for, of course, mobile sports betting as well. So everyone's going to have a sports book right in their pocket, essentially. So I'm wondering, how does that play when you want to build a kind of brick and mortar sports book, whether there's one in PNC or one just kind of outside that area? How do you attract people to come there and do their sports gambling when they can essentially go anywhere to do it?
One of the things that we've done since I've been on the Centennial Authority is we tour other buildings throughout the nation. And we see about the way they've enhanced themselves, how they've renovated. And most recently, we've gone to arenas with brand new or recently constructed sports books. And they're really nice. They're usually multi-story. There's leather furniture there. There's a better bar experience. There's a better restaurant experience. There are great seats to engage once you're, if you don't want to watch, you know, one of 100 screens inside the actual sports book, you can actually go onto the ice and eat your meal or drink your drink. So those will be things that we'll all be looking at as we intend to enhance the building. But I think that having a premium product inside the building will be an additional benefit to anyone who wants to come inside, whether you're using your mobile app on your phone or you're actually deciding to go put $10 on the winner of a Hurricanes game in, you know, October of 24. So I don't think they're going to hurt each other. I think they'll only enhance each other's availability and the fun you can have when you're doing this. Thanks for having me, Dan, and looking forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Keep in mind, Governor Roy Cooper is expected to sign the bill tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Charlotte. You can catch a live stream of the event on WRAL.com and the WRAL News app.
The rising prices we've all been paying for everyday items, really, may finally be showing signs of slowing down. The new Consumer Price Index shows inflation is cooling off after a two-year spike. Economists say it's something they predicted from good signs of falling prices, including at the gas pump. The Consumer Price Index came in lower than expected at 4%. And hey, as for those gas prices, AAA says oil prices are low, which means gas prices are slowly decreasing, too. Core inflation is still up more than 5% from a year ago. Some unexpected trash is littering our beaches along our coast. This is a balloon. Officials at the Outer Banks say they are picking up hundreds of old popped balloons. Cape Hatteras National Seashore staff collected 370 balloons last month alone. So far this year, they've picked up 938 balloons. Here's some context. In all of 2022, they collected just over 700. We have already surpassed the number of balloons they've collected. And, you know, summer temperatures, beach weather, it's really just started, Kat.
I know, and it's making a mess out there. Those numbers actually are really surprising. I did not know about that. But closer to home, things are nice and quiet. A bright blue sky in Southern Pines at the Longleaf Golf and Family Club. There are a couple people out here enjoying the nice weather this evening with a little bit of golf and putting. Tonight, if you want to get outside, maybe do a fire pit. It's a beautiful evening to do so. Just try to enjoy this nice weather while you can. The humidity is low. The temperatures are comfortable in the lower 80s this evening. By the time we get to 10, 11 o'clock, temperatures should be in the 70s this evening. Your muggy meter is the best part here. Our dew point 57, and that's the measure of moisture in the air. And the lower this number is, the less moisture there is in the air. And that's why it just feels really comfy out today. Yesterday, we were in the steamy category on the muggy meter. So we dropped two categories today, and it made for a nice day. When you look at the top of the muggy meter there that I had up, tropical is the worst category. And when you think of the most humid months of the year, it's July and August. But here in June, about half of the days, on average, we spend in that very high humidity zone, the tropical category of the muggy meter. And so far this month, we have had zero, and we're already about halfway through the month. So we're doing pretty good so far for the month of June, humidity-wise. A cold front passed through, and that's what dropped the humidity today. That same cold front, and you can see kind of this boundary here, this is going to actually lift back to the north tomorrow. And as it does so, it's along this front that we could see some showers and thunderstorms develop. Best chances would be in our southern counties, though we really can't rule out an isolated storm anywhere with that energy nearby and these hot temperatures fueling some energy in the atmosphere. 90 our forecast high in the Triangle, 92 Fayetteville, 91 in Clinton, 90 in Rocky Mount. It's going to be a hot day again tomorrow. The humidity isn't terrible, but depending on how far north the front makes it, it's south of the front, it'll be more humid. North of the front, a little less humid. That front's really the dividing line on the humidity there. Tomorrow morning, we're nice and dry, and I expect that we'll be dry throughout the first half of the day. It's really not until late tomorrow afternoon into the evening that we have a better chance for some storms. Notice kind of that boundary you see here. They're scattered in nature, but that's where the bulk of the showers and storms are expected to be, that we can't rule out something developing to the north. So we'll keep an eye on that for you tomorrow. It's pretty typical June weather, some hit or miss thunderstorms popping up, high temperatures in the upper 80s to lower 90s. Storm chances tomorrow in that 30 to 40% chance zone, 20% Thursday and Friday. Heading into Father's Day weekend, it is trending drier. Right now, it looks like 90 for the high on Sunday, just a 20% chance for rain, but more unsettled as we head into early next week.
All right, so are you excited for Father's Day to just be like constantly sweating all day long?
That's okay, you know.
You need an ice cold drink.
I have like a long list. I have a long list of stuff I got to do. You know.
All right, thanks, Kat.
You got any pets at home?
Two dogs.
Two dogs. Mm-hmm. You could use a cat.
Maybe.
Hey, guess what? It is National Adopt a Shelter Cat Month, and a local animal shelter is celebrating and helping more felines find a new home. The details on that coming up.
Right now in the Live Center, we are tracking former President Trump on his way back to New Jersey. Right now at 7:24, these are live pictures over the Newark airport as his plane comes in for a final approach. Right here is his aircraft. It's going to make this turn and then head right into Newark after quite the day down in South Florida. He'll be speaking at Bedminster. Those pictures right here, this is what it looks like right now as supporters are starting to line up. That speech scheduled for 8:15. And again, live pictures right now of the airport there in Newark as crews are waiting for his arrival. We'll monitor this and have full coverage for you on Fox 50 at 10 and WRAL News at 11 o'clock.
All right, Mark, thank you. If you are looking for a sign to add a new fur baby to your family, maybe the Hagerty household.
I'm allergic to cats, but I do love them. I like them in small doses. I can, you know, a little allergy pill. But it is in honor of National Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. The Way County Animal Center is hosting a feline-only adoption event. You can name your price. Take home any cat more than 6 months old. The shelter is hoping this will help the older kittens and adult cats find some homes. So get in there and pick out your new family member. The shelter says if you are looking to adopt a cat, now is the best time, the best deal, and it helps the shelter out as well. And look at all the cuties right there on the screen. Go grab one. A man rescued an owl trapped in a tree on the Neuse River. Look at these pictures. You can see the owl. It's dangling from the tree there with one of its wings caught.
Staff from the County Parks and Open Space Department spotted it while canoeing on the river. The owl was tangled in fishing line. One of the officials used a pocket knife to remove the fishing line from its wings. He then carefully brought the owl to safety on the shore. The team then got in touch with local owl rescue group to come and check on him.
He looks cranky, but
okay, though.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Hey, coverage of the U.S. Open starts tomorrow.
You can watch all the action right here on WRAL starting at 8 p.m. Coverage continues through Sunday.
Go adopt a sweet kitten.
Yeah, watch some golf.
And watch some golf. Mm-hmm. Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.